Well, God is good, amen.
Amen.
Do you know, last night we were doing the filling station, and Craig got me up and said, "So where have you been in the last 6 years?" And I looked at him and I went blank. And we got back to the room and Stephen said to me, "All the places you've been, Helen, and you never mentioned them." And I thought, that is so strange. And yet today the Lord's just reminded me of all the places that we've been since the last 6 years have been up here in Lossiemouth. You know, when we sang that, "How great is our God." We sang that in Moscow. We sang it in St. Petersburg. And we got that we couldn't sing it in English because they were singing it all over the place. And it was just so amazing. So I'm going to tell you a testimony this morning before we begin of God's goodness and about Pastor Vladimir. Vladimir was a pastor in a church in Moscow, and he'd been to the church service on a Sunday morning. He'd had cancer and he'd been unwell, and then he got better. But on this Sunday morning, the week before we went to travel to Moscow, he took really sick in the service. He waited to the end of the service and he asked a young man if he could drive him home, that he wasn't going to play with anyone, he just had to go home. By the time his wife got home, he was slumped in the chair and she called an ambulance, and they took him to hospital. The consultant at the hospital told him that he'd need to have an operation on his kidneys, that his kidneys were failing and that he would die. And Vladimir knew that we were coming on the Tuesday from St. Petersburg, and he said, "No, I don't want your operation. My friends from Scotland are coming and they will pray and I will be healed."
Amen.
What a faith. Of course, the consultant had different ideas, and the consultant argued with him and said, "No, you need to have the operation." So Vladimir waited from the Sunday to the Tuesday, and with the trouble with his kidneys failing, he couldn't pass urine, and he was getting lots and lots of pain, and he was very ill. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Tuesday, we arrived at the hospital, and he came out of his hospital bed and he sat on the garden bench in the grounds of the hospital, and he said, "I should be with the anaesthetist now, getting ready for my operation," he says, "but I really believe God heals, and you guys will pray and I will be healed." So we prayed the most simple prayer that we could and looked at this man who was very, very sick and very frail, and his little nightshirt, and off he went back to his room. And he said nothing much happened, apart from the consultant came and was raging because he was looking for him to go to the anaesthetist, to go to theatre, and he had disappeared. The man he was sharing with the bed was saying, "The consultant is going crazy and you're in real trouble." And the consultant came and he says, "I am not having the operation. I want you to wait and see what happens." And the nurse came and she says, "You need to get ready for your operation." He says, "No, we will wait." So he waited all day on the Tuesday, and then he passed a little drop of urine, and he knew that was the beginning of his healing. The nurse came at 6 o'clock in the morning and he says, "No, I have started to pass." And so the nurse came and the doctor came and they brought one of these bowls and they said, "Okay, you will pee in this bowl and prove." And he said the bowl filled, and he came home, and he went on the tube right there in Moscow, travelled an hour. He came to the meeting where we were doing the conference, and the whole place, you could have taken the roof off where that man stood, and was totally healed. He positioned himself for God's healing.
Hallelujah.
And he said he's now, because he was over so many churches and he was the bishop, he's now known as the bishop who pees. Which he thought was hilarious. But, you know, when they were singing "How Great Is Our God," they believed it.
Amen.
They believed it because they know what it is like. These people knew what it was like to be under communism. They know what it was like to be in sickness and in bondage. They were crying out for their pastor, and God healed them. You know, God can do amazing things. We not only went to Russia and had the privilege of going to Russia to minister, but we also went to Ireland. We used to say to Stephen, "I think we should go to Ireland. It's just quite near, and it's supposed to be lovely and a bit like Scotland," but we never ever got. And then we started to do the healing rooms, and we went to Ireland. And we went to a little place in a little housing scheme called Tala, where the pastor there just loves his people. A wee church of about 20 people, maybe a bit much like this, in the Elam church. And this man brought his wife, Evelyn, in a wheelchair. Evelyn, I don't think, had much faith that God was going to heal her, but her husband did. And her husband just reminded me of the men who bring brought their friend, their paralyzed man, on the mat and lowered him on the roof because they were so desperate for their friend to get healed. And Evelyn came and she sat, and I'm sure she's had many prayers before, because she sat in that wheelchair and she was never going to walk again. And he said, just let them pray for you, dear. What have you got to lose? Just let them pray for you. And as we prayed for her, our thumb moved slightly. That was all. But he was so encouraged by this, because not even, I think she'd had a major stroke and not even her thumb was moving. And then we heard when we came back from Tala the report that the next day she was out of her wheelchair. Amen. She was walking around her living room. Her living room got too small for her, so she went out into the kitchen. It got too small for her, so she went out into the garden and walked around the garden. And then she was running at the gym on a treadmill, a woman who was told she would never walk again. Isn't God good? Now, why did he do that? Was it because the anointed people from Scotland, from healing rooms, came? No. It's because of God's grace and God's love and God's mercy and God's timing. And when we reposition ourselves right into the presence of God, many, many miracles can happen. Many miracles can happen. So some of you will know me and some of you won't. I just like to say right now that although we've got the notes, God usually changes it. And so I'm never quite sure what we're going to say. So we're just going to go with the flow of the Spirit today, if that's okay. And I really felt the Lord says that we were going to speak on repositioning and no limitations. You see? So Evelyn repositioned herself right there with her husband, and there was no limitations. She was up on a treadmill, a woman who was in a wheelchair and who couldn't walk. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. You all know it full well. Love never fails. God is love, and his love never fails. He lavishly pours his love on his children. We love because he first loved us. He chose us to do many things. He chose us before the beginning of the world, and he has great plans for us. So this love that never fails, what does it look like? What does it look like, and how can we come into that love, and a true love that trusts? Because love is all about relationship, and love is all about trusting. And how can you love someone if you do not trust them? And today the Father wants you to learn more how to trust him, and how to love him, and how to receive his love that he lavishly pours on us. So Craig was asking us what we've been up to in the last 6 years. You guys, some of you may have seen this and some of you may not. Stephen wrote this book, Life to the Full, with a young guy who was in our church, 24 years of age, James, who is now the executive pastor in the Coleraine Vineyard. It's probably one of the fastest growing churches in the United Kingdom at the moment. Since February, they have seen hundreds of people saved on the streets. The guys are there who do the healing on the streets. And James is with us in our church, and they wrote this, Life to the Full. It's a manual, it's a working manual. There's 24 chapters in it that you can do one a week, or you can do it at your own pace. But they wrote it because it's full of scriptures, full of that sound teaching. I mean, Vic's right, Stephen is a sound teacher of the word. He's a strong man in the word, and I'm very blessed to have him as my husband. But he wrote this book, and in it is the scriptures for them to look up. And then there's a little worksheet for you to fill in and testimonies. Stephen and James wrote this because God said to him to believe there's going to be 1 million souls saved in Scotland. I mean, that sounds like massive. But when you work it out in the population, it's 1 in 5 in a family. 1 in 5, so why would God not save? He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so they wrote this manual as a discipleship for new believers, because we're believing for a harvest. And so I would encourage you to get this. You can work it through on yourselves, a one-to-one, because we're believing that God is going to change the atmosphere in this nation, and that people are going to come and they're going to get saved and healed and restored in the love and the name of Jesus. And then there's this one, the day that changed my life. Chapter 8 is called Love Never Fails. All the chapters are great, but that has to be my favourite one out of all the ones that I wrote. But you see, a year before we went to a conference, because we've been to California twice as well. It's amazing, actually, where we've been around the world and how God stretched us. But we went to California to do a very small healing room conference in the back room of a Chinese restaurant. And a year before we went, three of my friends said, "When are you writing your book?" And I laughed and I said, "Write a book? I hardly put a full stop or a comma in an email. When I start speaking, I speak really fast when I get excited. Stephen writes books because he'd already written two before. I don't write books." And I laughed. We went to California and a woman came up to the conference, shook my hand and said, "Hi." She says, "Hi, I'm Nanette." And I said, "Hi, I'm Helen." She looked me right in the eye and she says, "When are you writing your book?" And the Holy Spirit said, "And this time don't you laugh." So I thought, well, never know, watch this space. I'll send you a copy if I write it. And thought, that's that dealt with. Well, I went home that night and the Lord gave me a dream of the title of the book and every chapter in it. God's anointing is on this book. There's people coming into the healing rooms in Scotland with this book and saying, if God can give this girl hope, he can give me hope. People are getting saved just reading it. And someone said, it's kind of your kind of story, and it's more of a female story. I gave it to James's mum and dad, who are not Christians, and his dad called me up and says, "Helen, you're bad." And I said, "Oh, really? How? What have I done?" He said, "You gave me that book, and I started reading it, and I couldn't put it down." He says, "The football came on, and I missed the first half," and he is a big football guy, and he's like, "I could not put it down." And this is a guy, and he was really touched. And one of my favourite testimonies from this, because there's been testimonies after testimonies, is a young girl who was brought up in a Christian home with lovely Christian parents, and her father took cancer. He was actually going to be a director of one of our healing rooms. It's the only healing room that I've had a dream about. And in the dream, I had this dream that there was a healing room in Hamilton. And I thought, that's so strange. But I said, "Stephen, I had a dream last night and there was a healing room in Hamilton." Wake up in the morning, he put his computer on. There was this email from a couple that said, "We've been on the website in Spokane, USA, and they said to contact you guys. We're really keen to do healing rooms. Would it be possible for us to meet you? And here's our address." And lo and behold, they lived in Hamilton. They came to visit us, and the husband was obviously very ill, with cancer at the back of his eye, which had swollen all his cheek up. But he was really believing in God for healing. So this young girl had been told at the age of about 19, people were praying, giving their dad words, and that he's going to be healed. And she says to God, "If you heal my dad, I'll follow you forever. If my dad dies, I'm walking away from you." She says, "Now, I'm a girl of my word," and this is her testimony 3 weeks after she read this book. She says, "My dad died and I walked away from God. And for years," she says, "I've done things that I am not pleased about. I totally walked away from the Christian life, and everything I believed was right and was morally correct," she says, "and I've done things," and she said, "and I felt so bad." She says, "My mum sent your book in a jiffy bag and it sat on a coffee table for 3 weeks. She says, "and this night I felt to move it and I put it beside my bed." She says, "and I was so, so depressed and so low and so angry at myself for all the things I've done." She says, "I took a knife to my bed and I was going to slash my wrists." She says, "but something said, no, read the book." She says, "I picked it up and I got halfway through it, and at midnight I phoned my friend, it's a Christian, and said, will you come and pray for me? I was going to kill myself. I'm suicidal and I really need to give my heart back to the Father." She says, "I believe right there I got saved and the Father's love." God cares about absolutely everything about us. He lavishly pours his love on you. And Vic said, "You know, I've got a testimony," but we've all got testimonies. But God told me to write this book or it wouldn't be here today. So if you need hope reflamed into your life, if you've got no people who are suffering from depression or just lost, then this is the book to get. So they're over there, and if they sell out, Denise has got more in her car. But I wanted you to know just what's God doing. You know, I would never have thought I'd be writing a book. I would never have thought I'd be standing here and lost in my mouth speaking to you guys. I would never have thought that I would have travelled to Albania and Ukraine and Crimea and Russia and Finland and Israel and all the places that God has taken us. But do you know why? Because I positioned myself under the presence of God and into what he had. And today the Father wants you to position your lives into exactly where he wants you to be. And Stephen was a Baptist minister in Castlemilk for 13 years in the south side of Glasgow in a really rough housing estate. At one point, it was the largest housing estate in Europe. And now there's about 18,000, but there was 40,000 there. And Stephen could not see past pastor in the church unless the Lord took him home. And I started saying, lift your eyes up, Stephen, there's a whole city. And we started to do the prayer for the city. And then I said, lift your eyes up, there's a whole nation. And we began healing rooms in Scotland in 2007. There's now nearly 50 healing rooms in Scotland now. Just because people step out and they take risks and position themselves for what God has. And then we went international to all the places. We went to Israel to do healing rooms in Bethlehem. And God is just so awesome. Like when you look back and you think, how did I get here? Many a day I would wake up in the morning and think, where am I? Which country are we in? What time is it? And it's just like, because God just takes you and he takes hold of a life and takes hold of a vessel. He takes hold of a heart that says, here I am, Lord, send me. And when we stepped out of the church in Castlemilk, it meant that we left the church man's, we left the church salary, and we had three kids at school, and we didn't know where we were going. That was in December 1999. We're now in May 2015. Stephen and I have not been paid by anyone. And God, he told us to step out the boat, we wouldn't drown, and we were to ask no one for money. And God has provided absolutely everything that we have needed. When we were in Bethlehem, part of the training with the school there was that the students, because they had a few interns, had to get into the house of prayer for 2 hours every morning before you did anything, into the presence of God, reading the word, just listening. And one Thursday morning when we were in there, I felt the Lord say, remember I told you about the loaves and the fishes, the miracle of the loaves and the fish, and what I would do, and about multiplication, because God has spoken to me all about multiplication and what was going to happen when we were in Castlemilk. And he says, remember the miracle, the loaves and the fish, Helen. And he said, 20 will become 40, 40 will become 100, 100 will become 1,000, 1,000 will become thousands. And I shared that on the Thursday morning, not really knowing what I was sharing. On the Wednesday, we got back, and Alison, our administrator, said, are you sitting down? And, well, she kept calling us and leaving messages for us to phone, and I thought, something's up with some of the directors or something. Alison's trying to get us. And she says, are you, 12 o'clock, she says, are you sitting down? I said, yeah. She says, someone has just donated anonymously £30,000 for the healing room building in Scotland because we'd been sharing the vision of healing rooms. So 20 became 40, 40 became 100, 100 became 1,000, and 1,000 became thousands within 6 days. God is the God of the suddenly. God can move in every situation that you have. And many of you have been crying out for a long time. But God, the God of the suddenly, can just come when you position yourself and just step into everything that you need. We have seen every bill paid. We have got no debt. We now own a house that we had to reposition ourselves for that because when we left Healing Rooms last April, God said that we were to hand it over. Healing Rooms has been great. Have you ever stood up somewhere or done something and thought, this is me and this is what I do and I was born for this? And Healing Rooms was kind of, this is me. I was born for this. Praying for people, seeing them healed, seeing them restored, seeing them set free. But Lord says, lay it down. Lay it down. I've got something else for you. Because God is the exceedingly, immeasurably, abundantly more. And he always has more for us. If we just position ourselves under his canopy and his protection. And so, we said, well, Lord, if we're to lay it down, who are we to hand it over to? And God always has everything lined up. If we just align with him, him and his Holy Spirit are aligning everything up. And this young man came to see us who'd been in Bethel at the supernatural school and he said he wanted to come and talk to us, see what was happening in Scotland. We just knew he was right. He was going his honeymoon and we spoke to the trustees and we said, we really feel this lad's right, but he's going his honeymoon. And Alan McWilliam, who heads up plans, one of our trustees, said, can not just email him? I said, he's on his honeymoon. We have to wait. But the morning that they were coming back from their honeymoon, I was up and couldn't sleep. And Robbie emailed to say, can I come and see you guys? I want to talk to you about what I feel is happening in Scotland. And he was the lad that we handed over Healing Room Scotland to. And God lines everything up. He not only positioned us so that we can move on for the next stage, but he positioned Robbie and Emma up so that they could take further Healing Rooms, take it further than we could even take it. And he'd been, his mum's Scottish and his dad's American or the other way around, I'm not sure. And he was in Bethel all the time. The Lord was breaking his heart for Scotland, prayer meetings for Scotland, get back to Scotland, because God's eye is on Scotland and God wants to change this nation. God wants to show his faithfulness and his love. He wants to show that he's the God who heals. He wants to show that he's the God who provides. He wants to show that he's the God who restores, who sets free. And he's going to do it through you and I if we just position and line up. So we need to trust him. We need to trust our Father. How do you trust a father when you've not had a good father? How do you trust God? You have to believe he believes in you and that he loves you and that he sees you, maybe not even as you see yourself. So we want to look at Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22, Jesus' baptism. What happened at Jesus' baptism? There was three things that happened. The heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit rested, and this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. The heavens were opened. What would it look like if the heavens were open right over your life? Showers upon showers of blessing. Everything that is going on in heaven would be there right there on earth. The Holy Spirit rested, because before that the Holy Spirit was coming and going. But at Jesus' baptism, the dove came and rested on his shoulder, and the Holy Spirit rested. And if you're a Christian today, you have the Holy Spirit resting within you, the mighty comforter who can give all gifts, who can release everything that you need for every situation. We all have gifts because we have the giver of the gifts. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what situation you find yourself in, you can activate the gifts, so that you can give out to bless people and you can receive the blessing. What a blessing to see someone come out of a wheelchair. What a blessing to lead someone to Jesus. What a blessing to be able to give to somebody who's maybe struggling financially and you have. You know, we give and we receive. We receive and we give back. None of it is ours to keep. We need to position ourselves to be free, to receive and to bless. And all this happened to And Jesus at his baptism, before Luke chapter 4 verse 1, when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to drive out the demons, to see the lame walk and the blind see." See, God there in Luke chapter 3, before Jesus even went into the wilderness or did any of the things that he was going to do in the next 3 years of his ministry, he was there with the Father saying, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." And if you didn't do anything else for the Father, if I didn't go anywhere else in the world, I didn't lead anyone else to Jesus or see anyone else healed, I still stand here today as a daughter of the Father who says, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." Seeing as you noticed when Annette said about birthdays, and I says, "It's my birthday." You see, because I never really ever had my birthday celebrated. I never had a birthday cake until I was 18 years of age, when my school friend's mum realised I hadn't had a birthday cake. Because my mother was always ill. She was in the hospitals with schizophrenia. My father was a great guy, but he became an alcoholic. And so our whole house became dysfunctional and we never had very much. I used to cook in a Caller gas stove, one of these little camping stoves, and I'd put potato, square, sausage and onion in water and I'd boil it all up and I'd serve it to my two younger brothers, because my sister by that time was 2 years older, was away to the RAF. And we'd live in that, and my dad would come in drunk, and if he'd any money in his pockets, I'd wait till he slept, and I would reek through his pockets to get money to feed us. And, you know, that was going on. But in that, God taught me a lot. He taught me how to be bold. He taught me how to ask. "You do not have because you do not ask," the Father says. "You do not have because you do not ask." I learned to go round our neighbours and knock on their door and ask for money until my dad got his gyro on a Friday to pay for it. I learned to be bold. I learned to be the strong one in the family. And I learned to ask. And God used that situation. And I bless my parents today for the life that we have, because God has healed all that. But if I didn't position myself into having a gracious heart and a forgiving heart, he couldn't do that. He couldn't take me to the places, and he couldn't have changed me into the person that I am today if I hadn't had the life that I have. And some of us have had really good lives, like James, who wrote The Life to the Full. He's got the most lovely parents. They're not Christians, but they're the most lovely parents. James is such a life that he says sometimes he gives his testimony and he feels bad about it because there's other people who have had such hard testimonies. Oh, that it would be a good testimony. Oh, that our lives would be of the graciousness and the goodness of God. But for some it's harder, and you have to position out of that and see what God the Father is going to do. So what or who is reigning in your life today? How do you see yourself? How do others see you? And how does God see you? You see, I used to see myself as a very frightened little child who wouldn't accomplish anything. Because my sister and I ended up fostered to my grandparents. And much as our grandparents loved us dearly, my gran used to say, "You won't amount to anything. You won't be like your sister. You won't fill your sister's shoes." When I was only like a little toddler, my mum got taken away by the ambulance men in a straitjacket, and I hid behind a couch, terrified. And she looked at me with these eyes that said, "Help me, help me, help me." And I thought then, I can't help anyone. So here before you stands a woman who's become courageous in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who stands as a daughter of the King, who holds her head up and said, "Yes, I can achieve many things because my God is good. And my God, I shall supply every need I have according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I can do everything in God who strengthens me." Amen. It wasn't always like that. I positioned myself over from being insignificant, not amounting to anything, to say, "Hey, I'm going to rise up and come into the call that God put into my life." Because on the 11th of May, 1959, when I was born, and the doctors had said to my dad to take my mum home and try for another baby that would help her depression, and I was the consequences of that. No, God said on the 11th of May, 1959, at 4:20 a.m., "There's Helen, and she's going to change a nation, and she's going to change a nation." Because isn't it good that she was born? Isn't it good that people are going to hear of my faithfulness? Because I'm going to be so faithful to her as a father. I'm going to be so faithful to her, and I'm going to show her how to trust in everything. That when she marries a sales rep from Cadbury's, she's going to meet up and connect with this lad. Because the night that I met Stephen, I should have been immigrating to Australia. God had other plans. And I met Stephen that night, and God said, "Look at this too. I'm going to connect them up, and they're going to change nations. They're going to change lives, and I'm going to bring them so together, and they're going to take a kingdom by storm, which is my kingdom." So on the 11th of May, God looked and he said, "It is good." So I celebrate birthdays. We celebrate with Dave today because it's his birthday, because God said, "Isn't it good that Dave was born today?" Going to make changes in his life that's going to transform lives upon lives upon lives. Do you want your life transformed today? Do you want to be the day that changed your life every day? Every morning when you wake up and believe that today's a new day for miracles. Today I position myself under the Father's reign. Today I say, "God, Father, I love you and you love me. What can we connect with today?" Amen. So how do you see yourself? Maybe you see yourself as a world changer. Or even a town changer. Or maybe you see yourself as, "Nothing much happens in my life. But that's okay. And this is my lot. And one day I'll go to heaven and it'll be all great. And we'll sing 'Worthy is the Lamb' and we'll sit around your throne." But you see, the Father wants heaven here right now on earth. The Father wants his goodness and his life all translated right here on earth. For all those who don't know him, who are going to come into his kingdom. For all those who you've yet to meet up and connect with. For those, when you come into your destiny, they can come into their destiny. How do others see you? We met a friend when we went to Ireland. We stayed with a couple there, and we met William. And William had had his struggles in life. His father was shot dead when he was 11 by the IRA, a mistaken man. They thought he was somebody else. William heard the bullets go off down the street, not knowing that it was his dad. William struggled a lot. William got married. William drank too much. He wasn't the best husband at the time. But we went to see him and we lived in his house. And William was great. And William has got such a heart after God. And we saw in him what others maybe didn't see so much. Because they saw the William of who he was of the past. But we saw in the William what God wanted for his future. And we encouraged him, and when he came to Scotland, we encouraged him, "When you come to Scotland, William, be yourself. Don't be what people expect you to be. Don't put limits on yourself. Don't put labels on yourself. Come and be you who God first called you to be, the son he wants you to be and grow into everything. And William is such a man after God. And he loves God, and he always did. But he's had his struggles like the rest of us. But you see, you can be a victim of your circumstances, or you become victorious. Amen. With God and Jesus and all that he has for you. Amen. So don't let other people, don't put your own limitations or others' limitations and labels on you. Be free to be who you are. A friend of mine had a dream, Monique. She was actually quite angry in the dream, and when she was telling me the dream, she was quite angry. Because she says in the dream, she saw me and I was getting a purse. And it was it had fabric all over it, and it was a house. But the purse was full of money. And she says, and you were getting like so blessed, and the money was pouring everywhere out of this purse. She says, and I said to God in the dream, why does she get everything? And she was like really angry. And she said, you know what God said to me, Helen? And I says, no, because I'm thinking, where's this dream going? This isn't a good dream. I says, no. What did God say to you? He says, because Monique, she positions herself for blessing. Do you? And she says, and I thought there, I need to position myself for blessing. We need to position ourselves under an open heaven of the Father. We need to position ourselves where other people can bless us. We need to position ourselves to hear the call of the Father so that we can be like Isaiah. Do you know that Isaiah heard the conversation that was going on in heaven? He had an ear and he heard the conversation that was going on in heaven. And then he says, here am I, Lord, send me. Do you say, here am I, Lord, send me? I've got an open heart. I want to position myself wherever you want me to go. Or you may be afraid because you haven't fully trusted in what the Father has for you. The other day there I was looking at our bank account. I was just thinking about it because since Christmas, the few people who support us, it's like every email is like, can't support you guys anymore. And I was like, Lord, I cannot be normal. I should be worried about this situation. And he's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I really do not think I'm normal and I think I should be worried. And he said, it is not for you to worry about, Helen. And it's like the stillness and the calm came. And it is well with my soul. Because why would not I not trust a Father who's given us absolutely everything? Who has covered every single bill? Who's repositioned us now in a new house in a new area where the Edinburgh and Glasgow airport are bang smack in the middle of where we live. Every motorway we connect on in 2 minutes, north or south. And it's like God's getting us ready to travel again. And he's not had us lack anything. And he's a good shepherd and we shall not be in want. So position yourself and do not let your heart be troubled. So we've been to Russia, Finland, Ireland, Latvia, Ukraine, Crimea, Wales, England, Scotland, Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Wait on the Holy Spirit and then go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The whole of creation is longing for sons and daughters like you and I to rise up into our calling and see what God has for us. So do you remember Jabez? Who remembers Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10? Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And guess what? God answered his prayer. What is naming you? Jabez's mother named him Jabez because she bore him in pain. And yet the Bible said he was more honourable than all his brothers. And she called him pain. Not honourable, pain. Because she birthed him in pain. And he cried out to the Lord that he would change his name and stretch his territory. So if there's things that have been naming you and keeping you down, maybe you've named yourself, or maybe you've lived under, oh, like me, you won't amount to anything. You'll always be like that. You'll never change like William. Everything can change when you position yourself. Just cry out to the Lord and ask him. Ask yourself today, what's been naming me? What's been limiting me? Is it lack of finance, maybe for you to travel? Is it just you just don't feel you're significant to do anything? You know, you are very significant. You are VIPs. You have value because Christ died for you. You've got identity because you're children of God. And you get purpose because you're co-workers with him in the harvest. So that makes you VIPs for his kingdom. So God's positioning or man's naming? What do you choose today? What you're limiting yourself under or God's positioning? God says to you today, you are his beloved child in whom you are well pleased. So come out of disappointment. Come out of sickness. Come out of negative attitudes. Come out of everything that restricts you. God wants you to rethink how you see yourself and how you see others. What do you think about? What do you think about? Because in Philippians 4:4-8 it says, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is kind, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is trustworthy, think of these things. Think of these things. What do you think about? Because where your heart is, there your treasure is too. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what we are thinking about and what we are consuming our heart with is what we are going to speak about, what we are going to passionate about, and what we are going to do. We need to rise up and be done with lesser things. We need to focus on the passion of Christ Jesus and all that he did for us on that cross. We need to focus on the love of the Father and the goodness and the mercy of the Father, which are new every day. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O Lord. Think about such things. Think of noble things and trustworthy and pure things and get your heads cleared of everything else that takes your focus. Our kids laugh when they go to see a movie and they come back and I say, was it a good movie? Yeah, it was a good movie, but you won't like it, Mum. All right. Why wouldn't I like it? You know, it gets to a stage that your kids are actually telling you what movies you should be watching and not watching. Steady the other way around. You won't like it. There's too much swearing or there's too much something or there's too much of everything because Mum just turns it off. You know, because I don't want now, I'm not saying that because I'm like morally super right. I just don't want to consume my head and my mind and my heart with all the junk that goes on in TVs and everything else anymore. I mean, I was a great fan of Dallas years ago. I would watch it every week. Steve McGouchy Youth Club and I would watch Dallas. But no, because you reposition yourself. And if you want to be a channel who hears from God, if you want to be one who's laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed, if you want to see people coming into the kingdom, into the goodness and love of God, then you don't want all that junk. You want whatever's noble and true and kind and excellent. You want to be in the fruits of the Spirit, which is love and peace and gentleness and self-control. You don't want to fill your head with junk. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong for you, but for me, it's wrong. And I've learned that now that if I put the TV on, I turn it back off again because I don't want to be a channel who's coming with that and having dreams of that. When I have kind of dreams in the goodness of God and I kind of dreams for people's life and bring vision and destiny. What brings me to life is praying with people and bringing them into their destiny. And I want to be so in love with the Father and so passionate about his presence and just knowing that I'm under the open heaven of God and lives can change. We don't need soaps and we don't need anything else of that stuff. We need the presence of God. We need the reality and the love and the fragrance and the goodness of God and position ourselves for it. Because too many times we're saying we're too busy. How are you? When you go around your country and you speak to pastors, how are you? Really busy. Really busy. Really busy. And we get into this, I'm really busy, I'm really busy, I'm really busy. And God's saying, why don't you come a while and rest and listen to my still voice? Your voice is sweet, it says in Song of Solomon, and your face is lovely. The Father wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be in his presence so that we can get out in the streets and we can be a river that's flowing of his presence and a river that's flowing of his healing and a river that's flowing his salvation and his anointing and his abundance. We don't want to miss the goodness of God because we're too busy. If we're too busy, then we're just not doing something that we should be doing. We had to lay down everything. We loved healing rooms, but we laid it down because God said to us, lay it down. 5 years ago, we started a church, and it was great. And there was a lot of people in lots of ministries, so there wasn't a lot needing done. And we met on a Sunday, and we were a family. But in September and December, God says, lay it down. Everything that Stephen and I trusted in the natural, God has taken away. And he's like, now, do you still trust me? reposition yourself. I had a dream and went up a mountain, and it was a long and windy road, and we got to the top. And I thought, now what? And the Lord said, well, it's been a long and windy road. You can choose now. You can go back down that mountain, or you can jump right off the mountain. And I said, well, we chose to jump. And there was a wide open door, and we jumped off that mountain. And right now, that's where we're at. In the arms of the Father, and air, with the Father's arms holding us up, because everything else that we trusted in the natural, has been totally taken away from us. But we've known the Father, and I've known the Father's love since I became a Christian in 1981. The Father just showed me his love, and I trust today in the Father and his goodness and everything. But we had to reposition ourselves. See, we could have stayed in the healing rooms and it would be good. And people would get healed and we'd probably start more healing rooms. But God's like, no, because I want you over here. I want to reposition you now for a new thing. For there's a new wave in my spirit coming. And I need people at you free. So that the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go there. You're free to go. Or I want you to go over there. I want you to go and help this place or help that place. Just be available. Available for everything the Father has. How is your soul today? Because Psalm 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his blessings. We sang today, praise our soul, praise our soul, bless my soul, bless my soul. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. Bless the Lord, and forget not all his benefits. Have any of you seen the transformation video that was out? It was out way back in 2000. When Stephen and I started prayer for the city, there was a transformations video going about. And in one of the video clips, it shows you in Colombia. And this pastor had been trying to get pastors to come together in Bogota, Colombia, and it just wasn't working. And then the news came that the pastor had been shot dead on the pavement. And it shows you when the blood's on the pavement with where they shot him in the head. And his wife says right there in that video, it is well with my soul. And I watched that and I thought, as myself as a pastor's wife, if someone had shot Stephen in the back of his head, my first reaction would have been, it is well with my soul. How is your soul today? How is your soul today with everything that the world has thrown at you? And everything the world has thrown at you, can you still say, it is well with my soul? Because the Lord wants our soul at peace. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not be at want. He makes you lie down in pastures which are green. He restores your soul. So today, let the good shepherd restore your soul. Position yourself under his shelter. He, she, who dwells under the shelter of the Almighty shall find refuge and strength there. It is well with my soul. I was thinking about this and I was looking up that old hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And I came across a man that I didn't know before, and his name was Horatio Stapford. Does anyone else know Horatio Stapford? Because I didn't know Horatio Stapford until 2 days ago. But when you read about Horatio Stapford was a strong businessman. He was a lawyer, a Presbyterian man. He loved Jesus. He was a fully committed Christian, and he was a really good businessman. He was a lawyer. And his son died when he was 4 years of age, his only son. He had 5 children, 4 girls and 1 boy, and his only son died at the age of 4 years of age. 1 year later, the Great Chicago Fire broke out, and it burned everything of Horatio's place. Everything went, his whole business, everything went. And he said to his wife, I think we should go on a vacation to England. We shall set sail for England. And we will take the children, and they wanted to meet up with D.L. Moody and follow him round England while he was preaching. But something happened a couple of days before they went, and Horatio's business started to pick up and he couldn't go. So he sent his family on a ship. And as they crossed the waters, a British ship hit their ship and the ship sunk. His four daughters were killed in that shipwreck. His wife was found unconscious for 7 days on a plank of wood. And then she telegraphed him and she said, "Survived alone, what shall I do?" And he set sail on the next ship from New York to England to go to be with his wife. And as they crossed the waters just there where that ship had crashed and killed his four children, the captain called him up to the top of the deck and he said, "Horatio, we have done a lot of research and we believe this is where your four daughters died." As he looked into the water in that ocean and where the ship had gone underneath, he went up deck and he wrote, "It is well with my soul." How many of us could do that in a situation? But there was a man who loved God, who positioned himself that no matter what life threw at him, he was going to say, "It is well with my soul." So what do we say today? And how do we position ourselves into the Father's love and into his goodness and into his blessing? The good Father today wants to heal our soul, that we can say it is well with our soul. The good Father today wants you to know that he is the Jehovah Jireh, the provider of every need that you have. The good Father wants to say today that he is Jaffi Rophi, the Lord who heals. So just let the Father heal you today. Let the Father just sing over you. His word says in Zephaniah 3:17 that he quiets your heart with love. He delights in you and he rejoices over you with singing. And his word says to you today, "You are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. Amen. So Father, we just pray today and we come to a good Father who loves us. And we position ourselves today under the love and under the shelter and under the canopy of the Lord Most High. And we declare today, Lord, that we trust you and we shall not be afraid. We shall not be afraid. We thank you, Lord, that you hold us by your right hand, that you uphold us and you say to us, "Do not be discouraged, do not be dismayed. I am the Lord your God and I am with you." So be strong today. Be strong today and be very courageous. Be very courageous. For today, I want to establish my kingdom. Today, I want to establish my rule in your heart. Today, I want to show you all that love that I talk about in my word. Today, I want to show you all that love that I lavishly pour upon my children. Today, I want you to take from your head and put into your heart that you are my beloved son, you are my daughter, and I am well pleased with you. Amen.